This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Today was the last day of media availability for the Chiefs. Andy Reid once again said no new injuries for the team. It's just the same stuff we've known. Guys that aren't going to play anyway. Sky Moore on IR. They're not going to remove him from IR. Other than that, everybody is good to go for Super Bowl 59. The Eagles will hold their final media availability a little bit later on this afternoon. The NFL just held their Super Bowl halftime performance press conference as well. Of course, Kendrick Lamar will be performing at halftime in New Orleans. Other than that, kind of a from a news cycle end at the Super Bowl, kind of a quiet day. It's the busiest day of Radio Row, though.
Yeah.
You guys probably caught Fesco and Dusty this morning. If you missed their show, check out the Odyssey app and, of course, our website. Plus, tomorrow, it sounds like they already got some great interviews planned. We had Bob on earlier, so they were just wrapping up an interview with Darren Woodson. So plenty more content from New Orleans. Go to our social channels as well.
Next up on What's Trending, the NFL's announced it will play its first regular season game in Melbourne, Australia in 2026. Will be a multi-year commitment to go play games overseas there. That now Germany, London, they did South America last year. Now Australia, they're going to continue this international series. The NFL knows what we know. The NFL is the most popular sport by a mile in the United States. And they're saying that popularity probably would extend to other countries if we just showed them our product. Easiest way to show them our product is to put the product in that country. So could be the Rams are going to be the host city for that. The Chiefs do visit the Rams that year, 2026, and have 9 road games. So yeah, I'm not saying it's not going to be Kansas City.
It's a very
there's
good
a
chance.
Decent shot it's Kansas City.
One of the next 2 years, I mean, they're going international. Either next year they're hosting in Germany or something, or the following year they'll be going to Australia. It sure seems like. Next on What's Trending, Missouri basketball last night fell in Knoxville to Tennessee, 85-81. As they continue through SEC play. That is, of course, a Tennessee team that's top five in the country. Missouri Tigers in the latest rankings earlier in the week moved up one spot ahead of the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll see what the rankings are next week. For those that care about the rankings. Couldn't be me.
No, you've made it pretty clear you don't care. I'll say Missouri had a 10-point lead there. Tennessee's pretty good for a reason, top five team in the country. Missouri should look at this the same way they look at anything else. That's a good battle for a road SEC game to be neck and neck there with Tennessee. That's not like a shameful loss by any means. Missouri's got a really good basketball team this year.
KU and K-State will play Saturday in Manhattan for the Sunflower Showdown.
Both coming off beatdowns of Iowa State. Next up on What's Trending, Ryan Day and Ohio State have reached an agreement on a new 7-year extension. It'll pay him like $12-13 million a year over at Ohio State, making one of the highest paid coaches. Obviously, he's coming off of the Natty just about a month ago, so that's not surprising on that end. I bet they'll still be trying to fire him after a Michigan loss 2 years from now, but for now, Ryan Day.
They love him for now.
Big new deal at Ohio State.
They like him right now.
They were trying to drag him out 3 months ago. But you know what? College football now gives you a chance to actually lose some games early and bounce back, which is what they did. They played their best football when it mattered.
Lastly, on What's Trending, some sad news in the NFL world. The Bears announcing that their principal owner, Virginia McCaskey, has passed away at the age of 102. That just came out in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Let's go back down to New Orleans on the Pheasant Fest hotline. National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic is coming to the Kansas City Convention Center March 7th to the 9th. Visit pheasantfest.org. And our guest on that hotline, of course, is Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He is in New Orleans. He'll be on the broadcast of the big game this Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan. He is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danen, how's New Orleans treating you so far, my man?
So far, so good, fellas. It's been good down here, down at Radio Row right now, and this seems to be probably the craziest day that it's been here all week so far. So I think everybody's starting to come in town, and you got a bunch of other former NFL players and actually current NFL players that are here along Radio Row. So it's kind of been fun to kind of people watch, and you got the McAfee shows on, the other ESPN and Fox shows up, and Kay Adams show and stuff like that. So just kind of perusing the area a little bit, getting ready for the game.
Have you made sure, is Dusty just hovering over the Kay Adams set? Have you seen if he's nearby?
I have not. Okay. I did see, I thought I saw maybe somebody rolling around underneath the set, so maybe that was him, but who knows?
Can't rule it out, Danen. Definitely can't rule it out. Speaking of the game, because we're now just 3 days away from the game.
Yeah.
My stance is obviously we know that Saquon Barkley is an incredibly important player, but I also don't think you should just sell out to stop the run. I feel like the teams who do that, Saquon ends up burning them worse in a lot of ways. I feel like some yardage is fine. I'm just trying to avoid the 60-yard gain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a dynamic when you have a running back to his caliber that you want to pay attention to him, but to make the entire focus of your defense just that, you open yourself up for other big plays by other guys. And it's just about discipline. I think you get to this game, the teams that get to this game and then go through this game the way they got here are the teams that are usually victorious. You do dance with the girl that brought you. You do what got you there. And that's the one thing about having an identity. And I believe that we have an identity on offense, defense, and special team. Doesn't mean that they don't have one either. Just means that the team that sticks to their identity is probably going to be put in a position to win this game over the other. That's just a fact. I mean, you look at the other teams that we've played, not just in other Super Bowls, but just leading up to each Super Bowl. It's usually the criticism that we give them is, man, they did something a little weird. They did something different than they've done before. And that didn't bode well, whether it was Sean McDermott last week getting away from James Cook in the final minutes in the crucial times, was whether it was the Texans, you know, just kind of getting outside of themselves against us. You know, in past years, we know we've made a lot of noise about John Harbaugh and what he didn't do in the run game against us in the AFC Championship last year. So I just think that that's kind of the dynamic that we've been able to present when we're playing against teams, is that at some point we're a team that sticks to what we do and the other team kind of shows their hand just a bit or maybe shows their desperation, and then we're able to take advantage of that. So I think that's when you look at the matchups, whether it's interior linemen, outside on the perimeter, quarterback versus quarterback, running game versus running game, there's a lot of parallels in this game. It's just really going to come down to who's going to execute based on their identity and who's going to get outside the box a little bit.
Danen, I know you've been there since, what, Sunday, if not Monday. Been around the guys a little bit. How does it compare, I guess, to the last couple of these? Certainly 2 years ago when they were playing Philadelphia, they've been, a lot of these guys have been through it before. So is it the same type of mood? I'm assuming there's plenty of confidence, but if you could, just what's the interaction been like with some of the players and even the staff for the last couple of days?
I think it's been relaxed. And I feel like, you know, not being a player that has been on this stage, I got to the AFC Championship and that was the height of my postseason success. But I just find it very unique, very comforting as a Chiefs fan that they're just moving around like it's another game. And I think that's where you have to be from a mental standpoint and emotional standpoint. You can't get too high and now it's Thursday and you're coming down on Sunday, or you're trying to manufacture energy to get through the game. We already know it's going to be a lot. We already know that the players, once you step on that field, your adrenaline shoots through the roof. Now it's about being able to manage that, and not just manage it on game day, but manage it throughout the week. And roaming around the team hotel, those guys just move around like it's just another week of work. That's really it. Meeting with the coaches. Saw last night at the meal in the meal room, the tight ends were playing a board game together. There was like six of them sitting around, tight ends and running backs, sitting around playing a board game. And like, that's kind of what I'd like to see. It's not about guys, you know, there's no chatter about going to a party or getting out of the hotel, or these guys are just focused, laser focused, and they're doing their job in preparation up to the game. And it's the same thing with the coaches. Even talking with the coaches earlier, they're, you know, this is like, okay, now we're at the time where let's hurry up and get the game here. Like, it's been long enough. And that's kind of the mindset that you want to hear and what you want to see from guys.
Dana, what game are they playing?
I don't know. I didn't hover too long. I didn't want to be that dude that's hovering over them relaxing. So I just kind of glanced over a couple of times. But it was some sort of board game, so I don't know. I might have to check that one out.
We know at training camp some were playing Settlers of Catan together, so I thought it was at least possible that that was the game they were playing, but I was at least full circle, you know, if that was possible. I guess if you look at these teams, Dana, and they're all different, so, like, it's hard to compare directly. Which of these, like, if they complete the three-peat, we don't know that yet or not, but where do you think this ranks amongst the teams that won the Super Bowl the previous 2 years? Is it in the middle? Is it better? Ooh. Is it about the same, right? Because 3 years ago, the first one, they scored 100 more points in the regular season, but they gave up about 40 more points. Last year, they actually scored less points than this year's team in the regular season, but gave up about 30 less points. So, like, where do you think they rank amongst them?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for me to put them behind either of those teams. I think they're going to be in front just because not only of getting to this point and setting history, but how they got to this point. The injuries that were sustained all season long, the ups and downs and ebbs and flows, but yet still figuring out ways to win football games. They were 15-1. I'm not giving that last loss to the Chiefs, to this team, against the Broncos. I'm just considering them that they played a 16-game season and they were 15-1. And the fact that they were able to do that playing the team that they beat in the AFC Championship as opening weekend, the next team in the Bengals, who were a rival, supposed to be a rival, and then to have the three games in 11-day stretch at the end of the season, secure the number one seed, and then get to this point again when you've gotten not just the bullets shot at you, but like bombs, nuclear missiles from every team trying to unseat the two-time defending Super Bowl champs. And now we're still here, standing, and actually probably in better shape than we were most of the season, if not outside of week one and week two, as far as health and confidence and everybody playing in the right place and with the right clip and the mindset. Like, you can make an argument that we're better off right now than we were in the beginning of the season, outside of maybe Rashee Rice being missing. So I feel like it would be tough for me to say, you know what, this is a second or third team of the three-peat. I feel like it's going to be number one because of all of that's on the table.
We're talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Of course, he will be on the broadcast Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan as the Chiefs take on the Eagles. I think last week we asked you about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith a little bit. On the flip side for the Chiefs, what do you make of the secondary they're going to go up against in Philadelphia? It's a much different secondary than the one they faced a few years ago.
Yeah, I think this defense seems more physical than that defense. They seem definitely more disciplined than that defense. And when you add in the Hawkeye Cooper DeJean, who's kind of a Swiss Army knife, he's got coverage skills like a corner, but he plays physically like a safety. That adds a little juice to them as well. And when you got Big Play Slay on the outside, I mean, that's one side of the field that you definitely have to be careful anytime you throw the ball over there. I just feel like they're a more complete team overall. Not very many weaknesses at all on this team. The defensive front, the three Georgia boys up front, is really what makes this defense go. And when they're able to get pressure with just four guys, Think about it, just mathematically. Four defenders getting pressure in the face of opposing quarterbacks means there's seven other guys that can defend every throwing lane, can double cover anybody that they need to double cover, because they don't have to blitz to get in the face and rattle the quarterback. So if we can secure the pocket better than most have against them, or if Patrick can be mobile to buy time, not just to run for his life, but to buy time to carve up the defense downfield, then it's going to be a long, long night for their defense. So I just know that we've faced some very dominant pass rushes. We've faced some very strong defenses. Heck, just in the AFC West, you can consider what the Denver Broncos have been. And then no luck playing the Texans twice, playing the Niners. I mean, you can go through the list of teams that we played. And although we had some struggles at times, we figured it out. And that's what this game is going to come down to, figuring out how to take their strength and make it a weakness.
Dane, and I will admit that this could just be because I'm in Kansas City, so I hear the opposite end of this more often. It feels like nationally it's a way bigger deal. What's Kansas City's offensive line going to do against the Eagles' defensive line? Isn't it the identical problem on the opposite side? The Eagles' offensive line is not like without its problems, and the Chiefs' defensive line is not without dominant players, guys like Chris Jones.
Yeah, I think the glaring thing that jumps out about their offensive line against our defensive line is their girth, their bulk. I mean, they're the biggest offensive line that we will have faced. Okay. And in some respects, we're probably the smallest D-line that they face. Outside of Mike Pinnell Jr. and Chris Jones, everybody else is kind of built for speed and quickness. And that's what we're going to have to utilize to defeat them. We can't allow their big bodies to swallow us up on blocks. They do a nice job, including Dallas Goedert, on the perimeter and blocking. You think about that first touchdown run by Saquon Barkley against the Washington Commanders. Everybody was covered up, just swallowed up in the middle, and then he was able to get on the perimeter and break a few tackles. Like, we can't afford those bodies to be taking us up and moving us around. But at the same time, we can't try to slip around them either. That's where big plays happen in the run game, is when the defensive tackle tries to jump outside of a block instead of taking them on. When the defensive end is not leaving his outside shoulder open to force the running back to cut back inside. When the corner takes the wrong angle off of a block from a wide receiver and allows the running back to get down the sideline. That's when the big plays happen. So the discipline is not just about being more physical. It's about being more disciplined in your run gap, your gap fits, and where you're supposed to be. Because there are times, and I've seen it with this defense, I've seen it with those past two defenses, where we've gotten gashed a little bit because guys are not doing their specific job. They're trying to do something unique. They're trying to guess at whether it's a pass or a run, maybe trying to get too happy in getting a pass rush in the face of opposing quarterbacks and not being disciplined with their keys. And that's where you get big plays that could have been small plays. So that's where it's going to land for me, and that's where I'm going to be watching each matchup on the interior, because we got to make sure to contain the running game for the Eagles. Not just Saquon Barkley, but their backup running back, as well as Jalen Hurts, because he ran very well against the Commanders as well.
Before we let you go, do you have a player, maybe that's not, like, obviously not Kelsey, not Kareem Hunt, that you think could end up having just a massive impact in this game? I say that because 2 weeks ago, nobody probably saw Juju Smith-Schuster having the game he was having, but that right out of the gate on the scripted plays, he was involved. Andy's got 2 weeks to get ready for this one. Is there a player off the radar a bit you think could end up having a big play or a big moment?
The first name that comes to mind from an offensive standpoint is Noah Gray.
I like that answer.
I feel like with the season he's had this year, being that complimentary force for Travis Kelce, as well as a guy that can fly under the radar. We've seen him line up in the backfield as kind of an H-back / fullback, but we've also seen him at the conventional tight end position. I think he can be a guy. And also, Nico Remigio on special teams. I mean, you can make an argument that part of the reason, or a strong reason why we're here, is because of his return ability, first against the Texans and then against the Bills. I mean, two huge plays that kind of ignited the stadium, ignited the team, and then I think made the other teams a little fearful about what they were going to do the rest of the game in regards to their punt and kickoff coverage. So if you're talking about outside the box, like, I'd like to see that train continue to roll down the tracks and special teams being a huge factor, and maybe it'll be a Leo Chanel block field goal again like we've seen in the past.
I kind of hope that it ends in like some sort of thing that can make people be like, they can't, not again. I don't like, yeah. I know that's a sick way to think about it, Dana, but like, they're already upset. It kind of brings me joy to know that they would be, have to watch something go down weird again, like a doink in for the win.
I'll take it. Whatever way we can get it, I'll definitely take it.
Just get the win. By the way, we appreciate you calling in. We've got your buddy, Sean Barber, calling in or coming in studio in the 1 o'clock hour. I don't know if you have anything you want us to tell him.
You guys got extra Tylenol? You guys need any?
Which one of
Bismol
you
or anything?
Which one of you would host a worst Super Bowl party? We got asked about the people at the station
Ooh.
Earlier.
Would host the worst one?
Yeah.
I mean, offense always does it better than defense, so I'm going to say he would host the worst party.
We'll make sure he knows.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely pass.
But he's more social than me. Like, he's okay. Got contact all over. Like, that's a tough one. I have to give him credit where it's due. He's the more social guy, so maybe his party will be better.
But your spread might be better is what it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. Well, enjoy the food down in New Orleans, and obviously we'll be listening on Sunday to the call. Appreciate the time.
No problem, fellas. All right.
There you go. Former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes. He'll be on the broadcast. He's the Chiefs Radio Network color analyst for the Chiefs, along with Mitch Holtis, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel, right here on 96.5.
Defensive guys also always talk a little bit more. You know, they always trash talk more.
He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. No, I'm with you.
They do.
I wonder if Barber will defend himself a little bit.
I'm sure.
Happy to, I'm sure, defend himself against Danan's accusations.
I like his answer. I was waiting to see. You know, I was hinting at our. I was like, hey, tell me someone off the radar, please.
He says and Noah Gray.
Unprompted, he says Noah Gray. I love it.
Like, it's been a little quieter.
I didn't give him
lately.
Any hits.
You didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't try to lead him.
No.
You just said
I didn't lead the witness.
It was Juju. If anybody, he could have answered Juju because you're like, it was Juju last week. So maybe you took one guy off the board. But I mean, come on.
That's right.
Noah Gray, that's our guy, man. Come on, 2 touchdowns. No,
I've never been a bigger fan of Noah Gray than I am heading into Sunday's game.
It's massive financial benefit for you.
Could be a nice swing. Could be a nice swing when it comes to that. All right, up next, let's talk more about that Eagles pass offense. And there is an event going on tonight in New Orleans. Some awards are going to be handed out. I think we've got a couple predictions and what it could mean for the way we talk about some of these players. That's
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
There it is, Drew. Thank you. Our earlier conversation.
I cannot do I Just Had Sex because I remember the lyrics and I was like, I cannot play that.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it.
You never know how things are going to come up on this show. The only reason why Akon is playing is because we were talking to a guest named Eitan Shander earlier in the week. And
Drew pronounced his name a little bit funky and you said it's Eitan. I said like Akon, but Eitan.
And so here we are, Akon, bumping back in.
I just knew Drew would know Akon. I was trying to give him that. He's never going to forget. That guy could come on our show 50 more times. And Drew will always remember it's Eitan now because of the Akon reference.
Until you have him on your show a bunch or know him or whatever. Yeah, E-Y-T-A-N. So
this song came out in 2006, by the way. I was 11.
So I was in high school when Akon was popular.
2006? Well, man.
Well, I graduated in 2009.
Yeah, no, I was
I don't think I'd gone back to college.
You were
out of high school, obviously.
Yeah, I graduated in 2003, so I was definitely 3 years removed. I was, 21.
How old are you, man? You know, how old are you?
Drunk at Kelly's, probably, is what I was doing. 2006. Just probably listening to that Akon song there, you know?
That's right.
That's my best guess. I always say that because my 21st birthday party, I was at Kelly's for a portion of the evening. Not the entire evening, but I was right before where I thought I was going to puke in a trash can outside. I didn't. And then we went to what was Nichols Diner off of, but no longer Nichols Diner. Yep. It's been many things since then. But we went to Nichols Diner and we were all just dying at the table. I always remember that night because it was 21 and we went a bunch of places. My brother kept calling the waitress, sir, sir, sir,
oh, geez.
Sir, can I have? Because he's just so drunk. He just couldn't. I don't know if you can tell or just couldn't get out, ma'am. Who knows?
Wait, this is the Denny's that you got kicked out of?
No. Okay, this is Nichols Diner. This is more like, I wouldn't hold the wall because it's old school diner. Space. Just like old school diner place that used to exist.
Once football season's over and everything, we honestly should. We've talked to you about how many barbecue places you've gone to, Drew. We need to do we'll get a list together.
Local spots.
Yeah, have you been to Town Topic yet?
No.
Okay. So there's some things that we got to still.
Is this like a diner?
I
love some diner
food. Burger joint.
Is banging.
Downtown, right off the crossroad, right in the crossroads, I guess. And it's a hole in the wall, but it's legendary.
Love those places.
That's where one of the Andy Reid's commercials were filmed recently.
Oh, nice.
At Town Topic in the last year. So anyway, thinking of places to go. Tomorrow, we hope to see you guys at a Rally House. We'll be at the Oak Park Rally House tomorrow on a Red Friday. Of course, the Chiefs looking to write history on Sunday to be the first team to ever go back to back to back. That means you need to get out to your local Rally House because we all know they got the best selection of Chiefs gear you can find, from those official postseason styles to the hottest in Chiefs women's fashion and the best assortment of headwear, home decor. Start supporting your Chiefs with gear from Rally House. So tomorrow we'll have a chance for you to enter to win a $250 Rally House gift card. We'll be there from 10 to 2. So come on, say hello, enter to win. Why not have a good time on a Red Friday? Plus get some AFC championship gear, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're always going to need something fresh, maybe. I mean, or at least for after. Maybe you've got your lucky hoodie or whatever. Gold's been actually slowly wearing either
all
a
week.
Super Bowl or an AFC championship game hoodie all week. One for each year.
I know.
You have enough now. They win this year. You can almost get through a full 5-day week of winning Super Bowls because they'd be up to 4 on this one. So
yeah, this is the last year's AFC title game, sure. But yesterday was a last year's Super Bowl hoodie. So we'll see. I mean, get them all from Rally House. Telling you, really have. Someone said Rally House at Oak Park Mall, across from Oak Park Mall. Yeah. Rally House, Oak Park, 97th and Quivira is the exact area there.
Yeah, it's right across the street. You'll see it. Just punch it into the old Google Maps like the rest of us use. Are you a big, I've actually gotten worse at driving myself around now that like map programs exist. I used to be pretty good about having to get myself around town.
The only time I use it in like when I'm in Kansas City is if it's got to be someplace I've just never been before. Otherwise, we've lived here long enough. You just drive.
Well, yeah, I drive a lot of places, but if it's somewhere I don't know, I just plug it in.
Like you live in the Northland, so if I were to tell you someplace in South OP, you would probably need it versus
Well, it depends. But like also, I'll say so. Like when we had to Rally House near there, I'll plug it in right as I'm leaving to make sure that there's not like, hey, go this way, man. There's like an accident.
Gotcha.
If I'm driving like 30 minutes away, I'm making sure that there's no like nonsense accidents I should be avoiding in order to get there.
I think it's a CarPlay thing. The fact that you and
it's
I
just
have
right
CarPlay,
there.
It is
yeah.
there. I think when you get it, whenever you get a new vehicle, gold, you're going to use it, I think, a little bit more.
I had to switch out the car yesterday. So I, as you guys know, I was in that accident back in November. I got rear-ended. In December, I dropped the car off. My car's not ready yet. I had the rental car so long, they made me trade it in for a different rental car. They're like, hey, this one needs maintenance.
What'd you
got to trade it in. Because of the ice and stuff, they were inventory non-existent when I went to go trade the car in. So I went to go trade the car in and switch it out. And the car, the car they had available was a 2024 two-door Mustang.
Love it.
Which is so impractical for my day-to-day life. Mustang convertible. It's winter.
That's tough.
So I'll
say, what a shame. Cody's got that thing on cruise control going 35 on side streets. What a shame.
A Mustang.
Like, really
what a shame. Yeah, what a shame that is. Jeez. What a waste.
My daughter said, can we have the roof down? I was like, it's 30.
Oh, she wants you to have the top down.
Drop the top down.
Yeah,
she called the roof.
Maybe on Sunday, maybe for like a block or two if she really wants it. Because otherwise, we're about to get snow next week. We're about to get some snow, it looks like.
Honest to God, least practical car for my everyday life.
I can see it for you. You've got kids and stuff. Yeah. Otherwise, that was the car when I was at Max Motors that I test drove was a brand new Mustang. Fun to drive, man. But I could see why that particular car, especially a two-door with three, two kids and a wife.
There's a back seat. But I mean, you got to be a kid to be sitting back there. That's for sure.
All right, let's get back into the Chiefs and Eagles in particular. Kind of a wild trend and stat in particular about how the competition has been for Philadelphia this year. So Warren Sharp put this out. The Eagles offense has played the number one easiest schedule of pass defenses in football this year. Whereas the Chiefs pass defense, well, they've faced the fourth most dropbacks versus top 10 offenses. So basically what we're saying here is the Eagles offense, they haven't been tested with as many top-tier pass defenses, whereas the Chiefs' defense has faced more of the top-tier pass offenses. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to explain here. And so the Kansas City's pass defense on the 248 dropbacks that they faced versus top-10 pass defenses, they were number one in expected points allowed, per attempt. So doesn't mean that Philadelphia, oh my gosh, they're just going to give up 50 points. No, that's not what we're saying, or that their offense is going to be shut out. That's not what we're saying.
It's one's been tested and one hasn't.
Yeah, and so if you're saying, the narrative out there is that the Chiefs haven't seen a team like Philadelphia, and certainly they haven't seen a back like Saquon. Well, the Saquon point is fair. In general, the Chiefs, though, have faced better teams than the Eagles. They just faced a Bills team that has a better offensive line than Philadelphia. They just faced Texans team that has a better defensive front, in terms of pass rushers, at least, than Philadelphia. They faced a more of a dynamic dual threat quarterback than Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson this year. That's not saying the Eagles stink, but this notion that, oh my gosh, they just never seen quite a unit like this in Philadelphia. BS.
I
call BS on that. And then the numbers here are telling, if anything, it's the Eagles side that hasn't faced a defense like the Chiefs.
Correct. That their offensive numbers are actually inflated by the idea that they have not faced a good offense. I want you to go back through and just remember the divisional alone. The Chiefs, as they entered the playoffs, had faced every single AFC playoff team at one point this year. Does everybody remember who's in the Eagles division? The Giants are a top five pick. The Cowboys started Cooper Rush most of the year. They started a game with Trey Lance, or at least they got half the game. They played in maybe the worst division of football. All things considered, was that the worst division of football? Pretty close. So, some of their numbers are just hyperfine.
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously, they're in the Super Bowl. I'm not here to tell you that the Eagles are a different team, but, I don't want to undersell, what you're saying is how battle-tested the Chiefs are. They haven't seen a defense like this. The Los Angeles Chargers, until the second-to-last game of the year, were the number one points-per-game defense in the NFL. They finished the league second. They faced them twice. The Denver Broncos finished in the NFL with the third-best points-per-game defense in the NFL. They finished third, and they faced them twice. Pittsburgh, who they faced in the final month of the season, finished seventh. Baltimore, who they beat in the playoffs, finished eighth. Buffalo, who finished 11th, they faced in the AFC title game. What I'm here to tell you is that since Christmas, they have faced six top 10 scoring defenses in the NFL. This is not new to them. And the other part that cannot be undersold about, like, the Chiefs' offense versus the Eagles' offensive numbers are they didn't have their full complement of weapons until much, much later. That's the other part of it.
No, no question. 913-586-7965. Someone's saying that you're not telling
full
the whole story. Someone from the 913 says, "Hey, Cody, this is the guy from the rental car place. Just a reminder that I did offer you a Jeep Compass. You chose the Mustang."
Did he? I don't remember that. So
you turned down the Compass. That would have been more practical for your family. You know?
I will say the guy in the rental car
the Mustang.
Place.
It's fine. Everyone, who doesn't want to drive a Mustang?
You know what I want? I want my Volkswagen back. That's what I honestly want. I want my Tiguan back.
Yeah, well,
that's what I genuinely want.
Don't stop on a highway, you know?
Don't stop on a highway. This is nonsense. 2 months. And that's not, I blame the guy who hit me, you know? I feel bad.
Yeah, that guy, his company paid for it.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I even had a listener send me some stats too, even on like the same thing, but for Saquon, like
it relates to like the same level thing. Of defenses.
Yeah, I mean the same thing, and basically the top yardage games for Saquon came against defenses that were ranked 22nd twice. 25th, 27th, 29th, 30th, 30th, 31st, 32nd against the run. Almost 1,600 of his yards came from that. And then we know how good the Chiefs are. They don't give up 100-yard rushers. They did it to Lamar earlier in the season. The last running back to do it was Zamir White on Christmas Day last year. So this is a much tougher matchup for Saquon and the Eagles. It's funny just how stuff gets lost in the national conversation. And I'm sure there's Eagles broadcasters and radio hosts that think we're leaving out something about them. The idea though that like, man, they just have never seen anything like this. Like it's the Eagles haven't seen anything like the Chiefs in the entire season. Yeah. That's what's funny to me.
It's more telling on that end. Again, I still think this game's going to be close. I know tomorrow we'll go through the how we expect this game to be played, where, and even more game breakdown as we've continued to do that today. But, yeah, the Chiefs at this point, we saw what they did this year. They played in a lot of close games, but they had to do that. I go back through, and we talked about the schedule earlier. They got brutalized by the schedule. They had a super early bye week. They had to play on every day of the week. They ended up playing in a division that had three playoff teams. They had to face the other teams that they face in the AFC title game and the divisional round in the postseason and in the regular season. They had to play half of the season without their number two wide receiver, their number two pass rusher, their number one running back. I guess now maybe you think two because Kareem Hunt's done such a nice job, but he was certainly one when he got hurt. And none of that slowed the train down. The Eagles have won two. I'm not here to say they won a huge chunk of the season. They haven't lost since like October 1st. Like it's been a long time. But if you look at the Eagles schedule, the reason why those stats, the Warren Sharp one, come up is because as it shook out, the Eagles did not play an incredibly difficult schedule. They got the Giants twice. They got the Saints. They got the Cowboys twice. Like, they got a lot of bad football teams. They played the Jags. Washington is the only argument, who was a team that on the up and coming and did make the postseason and was a challenge and certainly were. And they faced the Ravens and the Steelers and some of these other teams. But, like, they haven't been tested because mostly against those. And if you're telling me that in addition to that, when they faced tough defenses, Saquon wasn't as good, well, that makes sense. You get out of your offensive pass game, it makes it harder for Saquon to do it. I'm just looking up for the Ravens, for example.
Yeah.
23 for 107 and a touchdown. Wasn't bad. Jalen Hurts, 11 and 19 for 118. That was in a win. I'll just tell you right now, Jalen Hurts passes for 119 and a touchdown. They're not winning a football game.
Well, the Philadelphia and Kansas City Super Bowl 2 years ago, Jalen Hurts was awesome. He played great. Maybe his best game. Not maybe. It was his best game as a pro.
And
they still lost. Now you can say, well, he had the fumble. That's the point, though. Like, he still, like,
played a nearly perfect game, yeah, except for that one mistake. And that one mistake was enough.
The door was open. The door was cracked open for Mahomes on a bad ankle to still have a massive third down run. And, you know, they were able to ice that away. The Chiefs defense, of course, came up with some big plays in that contest.
We're mentioning Lamar and stuff. Do you guys think he's winning MVP tonight?
Yeah, NFL honors tonight in New Orleans. And
the favorite's Josh Allen, right?
Well,
it flip-flopped a couple
weird.
Of times.
Yeah. So It so throughout the season, it went back and forth. The market closed as where Josh Allen was the favorite. Then we saw the All-Pro award come out and first team All-Pros, and Lamar was All-Pro. And usually that's an indicator because it's also the AP. Usually it's the indicator. And then, yeah, on some other markets, you can't. It's been closed on the books in Kansas for a long time. But some of the books have shifted back to Josh Allen. Remember, this is done before the postseason. So for those saying, well, Lamar outplayed Josh Allen, he's obviously not going to win anymore. This was done before the bad playoff performance from Lamar against Josh Allen. I still think Lamar wins it. My vote, if I had one, I don't, would be Josh Allen. I think he was the most valuable player in football this year. I really believe that. But the All-Pro part makes me think Lamar's winning this thing tonight.
But why did it close with
his third?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know if I just feel like a late shift is coming, and the market's changing is really what was interesting. Almost, I don't know, 95% of the time, if you win the All-Pro vote, you also win the MVP. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works. But the market flipping late to Josh Allen confused me.
It should be Allen, though. I have no problem with him winning.
This feels like the first time in a long time that I don't know the answer to the question before the actual award ceremony, I'll say. Like, you and I both know, or we think, we know who's going to be coach of the year. You and I think it's Jaden Daniels for rookie of the year. Although I think you can make a strong argument for Brock Bowers. His problem is that he's on a bad, 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 bad team. If Brock Bowers was on like a team who won their division in competitive, he'd probably have a stronger argument. He just broke all kinds of receiving records at tight end. They usually give it to quarterback though, right? I think you can make an argument, but yeah, Jaden Daniels team is easily went to the postseason. Rookie of the year. So he's going to win it. I don't know for sure who's going to win MVP. The only thing it's going to do is if Josh Allen wins it, he'll have one. Lamar will have two. Burrow will have zero. They'll have combined one Super Bowl appearance between the three of them. And at some point, we're going to have to decide if it's 4 years from now and those numbers are only doubled and it's two Super Bowl appearances and they got these MVPs, that they're not worth talking about as a group, as a threat to Kansas City, the way we talk about them now. Like, it's those three. They're a three-headed monster trying to slay the ultimate in Patrick Mahomes, because at least they're getting some regular season awards. Lamar, three MVPs, that's a crazy number. That's a really big number.
Right. I also think Coach of the Year, how much did voters weigh that Sunday night game to end the season? Because it was going down to Campbell or O'Connell. And we all know the Lions beat them in that spot. Did that swing it? I think Kevin O'Connell should be Coach of the Year. If we're going to continue with the trend of knowing that, like, you have to exceed expectations, because otherwise Andy Reid should have been Coach of the Year. If we're going with the you need to exceed expectations, well, the guy that had Sam Darnold as his quarterback that still won 14 games, that's my Coach of the Year. If we're going with that logic, if we're throwing out the other stuff, because otherwise Andy Reid should be it. But if we're doing what we know happens with this award, it's not Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell and the Lions had a great year. They were the number one seed. They beat the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell in the final week. But the Lions were projected to win like 12, 13 plus games before the season started. And they were the favorites to win their division. They did what they were expected to do. And if we're going to say, yeah, but we dislike him more? Is that what we're doing? Because otherwise, Andy Reid did what he was expected to do and more. He did more than what Dan Campbell's expected to do.
He won 15 games with his starter, and they were, again, missing a huge chunk of their roster for two-thirds of the season. They did it in a division with three playoff teams. Like, it's hard, though, because if you're Andy Reid, they're going to be like, but you got Mahomes, man.
We know Andy's not winning.
What do you want me to say?
He is a finalist, though, technically, right? Isn't he? Or he won the 101 award, and I think he's a finalist.
He is a finalist, but he's not.
He's not going to win it. I think it's O'Connell. If Campbell wins it, then I would like to know then how on earth we're going to argue that Andy can't win it, and we're not using the same criteria, because Dan Campbell, based on expectation, it's just, well, we just like him. Is that what it is? Like, we think it's cool because he goes for fourth downs, because he did not exceed the Lions did not exceed expectations this year. I'm sorry. They were in the NFC title game last year. They had the same OC, same quarterback, same DC. Yeah. They won 14 games.
This was my argument for the Guardians when it pissed me off over there. Like, if it's expectation over what you are, the Lions didn't exceed anything. Neither did the Chiefs, hypothetically, in that scenario, but neither did the Guardians. Sometimes we claim that it's one thing, but then it's just based on vibes a little.
Yeah, I get the comp. The only thing is the baseball manager of the year, that's typically we know the track record on the NFL side way more. They usually just give it to the guy that was supposed to win eight games and won 12. Like, that's usually who gets it. That's why Dan Quinn was a contender for a while, too. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I don't need to watch the NFL honors. Just send me the press release on who won the awards, you know?
Oh, yeah, I won't be
watching tonight.
Like nobody, no Chiefs player is going to win the award.
You think your guy Burrow wins comeback player of the year? He probably should.
He's going to win one of the
J.K. Dobbins should have a strong case for it too. I don't think he'll win it, but I would consider voting for J.K. Dobbins. But I got no problem if Joe Burrow wins comeback player of the year. I mean, yeah, he came back from a serious
injury. J.K. also got hurt again.
Yeah,
during the season, I think Joe wins it.
One of the he was up for three, right? MVP, comeback player of the year, and
offensive player of the year.
Yeah, he's only chance to win.
Saquon's an offensive player of the year.
Yeah, the only
Jamar Chase is also up for offensive player of the year. I would say Jamar Chase is a better shot than Joe Burrow, even at winning.
I think the
only Chase and Saquon.
That's Bengal that wins something will be Burrow for comeback player.
I think Hendrickson should win defensive player of the year, but that's another story.
He's not winning defensive player of the year.
It's like anything else. You can't win of the year. For defensive player of the year, rookie of the year,
bad defense.
Then Myles Garrett should not win either.
I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he's going to.
TJ Watt? I think TJ Watt will. His team won the playoffs.
He also was hurt throughout the year as well.
He still put up better sack numbers than some guys.
Trey Henderson led the league in sacks.
But it's not just one thing. It's a combination.
We know good and well it's a sack award.
It's a sack award, but you're acting like Trey Hendrickson had 20 more sacks than somebody. Like, if they're within five, seven sacks of each other, and one team won, the Steelers ended up winning 11 games? I don't know what the... 11 games, and he wins the playoffs versus the guy that didn't make the playoffs and was on the defense that was awful, and their defensive coordinator got fired.
Trey Hendrickson had as many sacks as the rest of the team combined.
Yeah, but the team sucked.
I understand.
You're making the same reason argument why you think, I don't know if you, but it'd be like me saying, and maybe you do, like Joe Burrow to win MVP. I don't care if he put up great numbers. His team did not make the playoffs. You're not winning MVP. You're not winning defensive player of the year, in my opinion, if you didn't make the playoffs.
Honestly, this conversation means that Zach Taylor should be on his ass. What's he got? He's got an MVP candidate, defensive player of the year candidate,
best wide receiver,
offensive player of the year candidate. Man, couldn't get to the playoffs. Like, what did you do wrong, dude? You had three superstars on the field and still couldn't win.
I mean, he bears some responsibility. It is the defense's fault, though.
Yeah, maybe. But you're saying it's the defense's fault, but they have the defensive player of the year. See, that seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I also don't know what this top text is saying. I don't know if they're talking about a different sport. They said they don't always give the MVP to a quarterback. Running back has won the last 2 years in his favor this year. That's just not accurate.
They must be talking about offensive player.
If you're talking about offensive player, sure.
Yeah, we agree.
We agree on offensive player. The MVP is the quarterback award. Offensive player of the year is where the running backs and non-quarterbacks win.
Did McCaffrey win last year then? And who was it? Did Tyreek Hill a couple years ago?
Perhaps. I mean, Lamar won MVP in 2023.
I think it was McCaffrey last year. It had to have been with how good he was.
No, probably. I don't know if it was.
He didn't win offensive player of the year?
We're getting confused.
Well,
offensive
player of the year.
No,
McCaffrey, Jefferson, Kupp, Henry,
MVP,
Thomas.
Though. Okay. Go through the MVP.
I was going back to what the texture was saying, how they were misconstrued on. They were talking about offensive player of the year.
He was asking offensive player of the year for Christian McCaffrey, I was telling
you. Gotcha.
Even if it's offensive player of the year, it wasn't a running back 2 years in a row. It's McCaffrey and then Justin Jefferson.
And wide receiver.
Lamar won MVP in 2023. Then it was Mahomes, Rodgers, Jackson, Mahomes, Brady, Ryan, Cam. The last running back to win MVP was Adrian Peterson in 2012.
As correctly pointed out by the text line, though, the Chiefs are 2-0 in Super Bowls, in which the season is Lamar Jackson MVP. So go for it, Lamar.
Chiefs fans should want Lamar Jackson.
Go ahead and get the MVP tonight, Lamar. I don't actually have a problem with either person winning it, if we're being honest. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not, offended by
My vote would be Allen, but...
We also get the Hall of Fame class tonight.
We can talk about that more in the next segment when Sean Barber comes in, too. The only question about this one, I'm curious, if would Eli get in as a first ballot Hall of Famer or not? He's going to get in eventually.
I don't think he should.
But will they vote him in? It's so weird how we play like this, you know, I guess we put these benchmarks, you know. We all kind of think he's going to end up getting in, but we're like, but maybe not as a first ballot. Like, it's so funny how we do this.
If you're going to put him in, just put him in.
That's what I'm alluding to. I'm with you, where it's like... You know,
there's no way that I think if you're a first ballot, though, you have to have the accolades where you're a Hall of Famer with the accolades. And then you're on top of that, a Super Bowl champion or Eli Manning without the Super Bowls. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's Philip Rivers or Matt Ryan.
Well, but, you know,
but the fact that he has it, he's getting in. But I don't think he's first ballot.
Philip Rivers'
numbers
are way better than Eli Manning's in his career. Like, if you're just talking
stats. And people say Philip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer or he's fringe.
Yeah, we rate championships in American sports.
Yeah.
That's a part of it.
It's not just one, though, for him. He's got two.
Yeah.
Eli's not just one. He's got two.
If he had one,
he's got two,
I think it's way different. And it's who he beat. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Come on, let's beat.
You beat Tom. You beat the GOAT.
It's who he beat.
That doesn't make you a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I guess, you know, the way I've always looked at Hall of Fame, and this is small because I know we got to go to a break. The way I always looked at the Hall of Fame is, did you have an impact big enough on the game that I will always remember you? And in Eli Manning's case, the answer is undoubtedly.
You remember David Tyree sometimes more than we remember Eli Manning's playoff performances.
I mean, I remember the one catch from Tyree, but Eli Manning felt quintessential about a part of the game for a 15-year period while I watched it. And if that's the case, and because of the Super Bowls and that stuff.
So like, is Big Ben a first ballot then?
Let's talk more about this on the other side. They also have some new revised the bylaws basically with how you can get in as a first ballot and the number of people. You have to reach a certain threshold. It's a little bit different than what it has been. We can discuss that and the rest of the class, including a former chief involved, Jared Allen. So that's coming up next in the 1 o'clock hour.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.